Kings chapter number 6, and if you're able, will you stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God tonight? 2 Kings chapter number 6, and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it is borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it into a thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for the opportunity it is to be in your house. Thank you for this privilege to stand and to preach the Word of God tonight. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd help me. I beg for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to rest upon us. Touch these lips that I might preach the preaching that you bid me tonight. I thank you for each one that's here. I pray for that that's lost in this place tonight. I pray the sweet Holy Ghost I do the work in their heart of conviction and drawing. And Lord, they'll call upon you and be saved before it's everlasting too late. Help us as your people to leave here a better Christian than the way we came. Lord, revive and refresh our hearts. And we'll praise and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach just for a few minutes tonight. Have the Lord being my helper on this subject of the lost axe head. The lost axe head. Now to use this axe head tonight as a type and a picture of the unsaved. Those who are lost without God. I want to say on this Monday night a revival meeting that the greatest need of anybody's life is that they would be born again. I believe it's good to feed the body, have to clothe their bodies, had to help folk along the journey. But the greatest need of men, women, boys, and girls is that they'd be born again. I'm glad for the day that somebody took this old King James Bible and preached to me Jesus. Let me know I was lost and let me know he is a Savior and that he saves sinners from sin. Amen. I say tonight it is the greatest need of each individual here tonight, from the youngest to the oldest, that you'd be saved by the good grace of God tonight. I got dwelling on this axe head today, and there's a lot of preaching in those seven verses. That axe head can represent the power of God in the life of a Christian, and many Christians have lost their cutting edge, and that's what revival's about, getting the cutting edge back in your Christian life. We could preach about every man carrying his beam as well. We all have a part in these worship services, and we need to do our part or else it'll fall short of what God wants it to be. Amen. But we see tonight as an unsaved person looking at this axe head. Can I say number one, that the axe head was separated. Amen. That axe head fell off the axe handle and fell into the water and therefore was separated from the axe hand. How I say tonight, how that as a sinner, you are separated tonight. How I say, first of all, you're separated from a holy God. Amen. I want to tell you, it's more than being unchurched tonight. It's more than just making some mistakes and boo-boos. Our friends, sinners are separated from a holy God. God cannot look on sin with approval. And friend, your sin has separated you from a thrice holy God. I thought today how the Holy Ghost took me back in the book of Exodus where God gave Moses a blueprint for the tabernacle in the wilderness. And there was a white fence all the way around of the tabernacle. That fence kept everybody away from the Holy of Holies, that place where the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant were, that represented the presence of God, and where God said he'd meet with them and talk with them between the cherubs. Friend, that white fence kept everybody away from the Holy God. Oh, listen to me. That fine twine linen fence had some brass sockets between it, and brass in the Bible's judgment. Amen. When John saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, he said he had feet like brass. Amen. You know, we're living in a day where people don't think God's going to judge sin. They're getting their new liberal ways. They've got their new modern churches where preachers have laid their suits aside and laid their cross aside, got their flip-flops and ripped jeans and polo shirts, and they don't preach on judgment. They don't preach on sin. They don't preach on salvation. They just give them a little psychology lesson. I want them to feel better about themselves. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you can feel good about yourself and die lost and go to hell. And what was it worth, friend, to you? What good was it? And to feel good about yourself and be lost without God. Well, I'm telling you, God is a God of judgment. Amen. For he's a holy God. Somebody said, preacher, don't you preach that God is love? I sure do. He loves sinners. And I sure am glad of that tonight. Boy, if he hadn't loved sinners, I'd been outside. I'd still be on the road to hell. I'd be in hell tonight if it wasn't for the love of God. I've explained the love of God and the holiness of God like this. A honeybee is made to make honey. Amen. But if you disturb that honeybee, he'll sting you. Amen. God is love. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, sin brings the wrath of God. Amen. Sin brings judgment, friend. I say tonight that your sin, you that's lost tonight, you're separated from a holy God. Amen. The Bible said there in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we were without Christ and without hope and without the covenants of promise. We was on the outside looking in. Can I ask you that saved a question tonight? Do you remember when you was on the outside? Have you forgot where you were when the great God of heaven found you? Oh, you had nothing to offer him. You were separated from him. Amen. Nothing you could do would bring you nigh unto him. You couldn't reach him. You were separated from him. I tell you, I remember when I was lost. There's no peace. There's no joy. Friend, there's condemnation. There was a guilt of sin when I separated from God. Oh, I want to say tonight, if you're not saved, you're separated from a holy God. But also I may say this, you're separated from heaven. Luke chapter 16, the beggar died, Lazarus, and the angels took him to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. The Bible said there's a great gulf between paradise and hell. He said those in hell can't get over the paradise. Those in paradise can't get anybody over in hell and bring them back. I want to say tonight, your sin has separated you from being able to go to heaven. Amen. I'll tell you something. From a child, I knew there's a heaven. And from a child, I knew there's a hell. Amen. Are you hearing me well tonight? Somebody said, preacher, Don't you think most folk are saved tonight? There's probably a good number of saved folk here, no doubt. I'm going to tell you what I'm finding across this land. A lot of people have got a baptismal certificate. They've got a church record that says their name's on the roll. They've turned over some kind of new leaf. They quit doing some things. They started doing some things, but they've never been born again. I'm going to tell you, it's more than getting baptized of the Church of Christ. I tell you, contact the blood in the water. I'm going to tell you tonight, friend, they can hold you under till the last bubble comes up, and you'll never get washed in the blood in a baptistry pool. I'm going to tell you what you need. You need a trip by bloody Calvary. You need to see the Lamb of God dying for the sin of the world, and knowing He died for you, and that you're separated from Him. Amen. I didn't want to get saved till I saw myself separated. Amen. I believe it takes that. You don't roll out of bed and say, "This is my day." Amen. I know that ain't a modern day message, but that's the Bible message. Amen. I didn't pick the day I got in. Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, before I was saved, I was separated. Before you were saved, just separated. A sinner here tonight, you're separated from God. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I'm headed to the city. Amen. I'm a country boy. I headed for the city whose builder and maker's God tonight. I ain't never had a desire to live in the city. I never have, but I'm got a desire tonight to live in that city. Praise God. How walls of jasper, how gates of pearl, how street of pure gold, how foundation like a rainbow. And everywhere you look, you'll see Jesus. Amen. That transparent gold so you can get a good view at Him. Nobody will block your view of Him. Amen. And that rainbow, hey, them jewels, you ever notice how jewels reflect light? Well, the Lord Jesus is the light of that city, and He'll be reflected all over the place. You look to the right and you'll see Him. Look to the left, you'll see Him. Look in front of you, you'll see Him. Hey, look all around you, and He'll be the light of that city tonight. Oh, I'm glad that I'm bound for the city tonight. Oh, friend, if you're not saved tonight, you're like this axe head. You're separated tonight. You're separated from a holy God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, by the way, look at that word "all" up in the Greek, and it'll tell you it means all. There ain't no exception to God's rule. Amen. Oh, you're separated. But can I say number two, how this lost axe head not only was separated, but also he had sunk to the bottom. I've never seen a piece of iron, brother, with Sean that could swim. You think it can? Well, you can go by Lowe's or a hardware store and buy you an axe on your way home tonight. Take that axe head off and throw it in the river. I throw it in the swimming pool. In a matter of seconds, honey, she'll sink to the very bottom. Amen. That's sinners tonight. You're not sinking, you're sunk. Amen. You're not just a little bad. Friend, you're altogether bad. You ain't just a little lost, you're totally lost. Amen. You see that there? A sinner sunk to the bottom. He's in the depths of sin. Now, I know to hear Baptists talk, there's big sin and little sin. But that ain't the way God looks at it. All unrighteousness is sin. Amen. Hey, there ain't a spark of divinity in you. You're in the depths of sin tonight. Oh, I'm going to tell you, you're wrapped up and chained up. You are a slave to sin tonight. Oh, you say, "Preacher, I'm my own person. I'll do what I want to." No, you're a puppet on a string. Sin's got dominion of your life as a lost person, and it controls you tonight. Oh, that axe head had sunk to the bottom. In the depths of sin is where the sinner is tonight. Can I say also, it sunk to the bottom to the place there's no way it could deliver itself. That piece of iron on the bottom of that water could say, "I won't back up. I won't out of here all day long." But it wouldn't come out of there. Amen. You can, hey, there's some of you thought, well, I'm just going to do better. I know what's right and I know what's wrong, and I'm just going to do better. Oh, you can't get out. Your own power can't do it. You can't deliver yourself tonight. I'm going to tell you, I remember when I come to the end of myself. Saw myself separated. Saw myself sunk down in sin. I mean, in the depths of sin. And wasn't able to deliver myself. Amen. That's where you are tonight, sinner. I tell you, I told you last night, I don't know how long I'm going to preach, but I'm going to give you what's on my heart. And I, by the way, I'm not beating the wind. There are folk right here tonight that need to be born again. Oh, you talk the talk. You know how to dress. You're in a fundamental Baptist church. You know when to wave your hand, when to say amen. But deep down on the inside, you know you've never been saved. You know you're separated from God. You know you've sunk to the bottom. Hey, God, the Holy Ghost has spoke to your heart. Amen. Boy, we see this axe head. It was separated and it had sunk to the bottom. But in verse 6, we see verse 5, it separated, it sunk. But verse 6, it was saved. There's something made a difference in this old piece of iron's life, if I may word it that way. My friend, that axe head fell off the handle and sunk out of sight. And Elisha said, where'd it fall? And they had to admit where it was. Amen. By the way, you say, I'm not real sure if I'm saved or not. Well, I'm going to tell you this. You don't get saved going to altar saying, now, Lord, if I'm not. That ain't going to get, you going to have to admit what you are and where you are. Amen right there. I'm going to tell you, and by the way, you say, preacher, I'd really like to know. Well, ask God about it. Amen. A good test. I'll tell you what to do. If you go to around the altar tonight when you get home and you get all alone, just say these words, I'm saved. And if you are, there's somebody from the inside going to echo back, that's right. Amen. He'll say, I'm here. I'm a living in you. Hey, I've sealed you. It's all right. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you, friend, we find that he had to cut a stick down. And when he cast that stick in the water, that's when that iron began to swim, and not before. Now, friend, that stick's a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus, the Savior, had taken our place 2,000 years yonder on Calvary. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad for that old rugged tree. That's what made the difference, friend. Hey, that's why you and I could be set free. It's what Jesus did on Calvary's tree. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I was raised in church. My daddy left me when I was a boy, but mama kept us in church. We went every time the doors had opened. If I just had a time of prayer, we went to church. I mean, it wasn't a quit. You didn't ask mama, are we going to church today? Lord, help you. If you want to get, you want to get in trouble, you say something like that. And if you really want to get a whooping, you tell them you wasn't going. Now, my mama ain't about this tall. I'm going to tell you one thing. Me and her used to dance with a hickory switch. Amen. And I knew better than tell her I wasn't going to church. Amen. And I want to say this, from a child, I knew the scriptures. Just like Paul told Timothy, from a child, you've known them, son. I knew about Jesus growing up. I knew who Jesus was. I knew he was the Son of God. I knew he took on flesh. I knew his virgin born. Yeah. I knew he died on the cross. I knew he resurrected. I knew the Bible was the Word of God before I saved. But I'm going to tell you one blessed Sunday morning. Down in the little old Sunday school class. Boy, that busts a lot of preachers how theology all to pieces, don't it? But down in Sunday school, as a teacher opened that old King James Bible, tears are dripping off her face, a tremble in her voice. And she said, boys and girls, I want you to know this morning that the only prayer God hears of a sinner is that of repentance. I want to tell you right then and right there, for the first time in all my life, I saw I was a sinner. I knew I was lost. It wasn't just the world Jesus died for. That morning I found out it's for me that he died. Amen. Boy, conviction set in on my soul as I realized he had took my place. All my sin was laid on him. Boy, that's something to think about. The sin before salvation, after salvation, he laid it all. God laid it all on his only begotten son. That you and I could be saved. I could have life and have it more abundantly. Well, we see the Savior took our place. How fine in this lost axe head being saved. How that lets us know sinners can be saved. What does it take, preacher? First of all, it takes the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. I still believe John 16 myself. Verse 8 down through verse 11, I still believe it's right. He sent the Holy Ghost for sinners to do what? To reprove them. That word reprove means to convict and convince. That's what happened to me in that Sunday school class. I got convicted and I was convinced, Brother Ben, I was going to hell and Jesus was my only hope. Amen. He said he came to convict of sin. Oh yeah. You say, preacher, I don't know if I've ever gotten under conviction. Have you ever come face to face with the fact you was a sinner? That's conviction. Because before the Holy Ghost ever does that, you don't think about being lost. That's exactly right. You're just merely going down your way. Happy-go-lucky ain't worried about nothing until the Holy Ghost messes things up. Amen. When he reveals you're lost, oh, that changes things. And then he said he also, not only of sin, but of righteousness. He let us know we didn't have none. Our righteousness is none but filthy rags. Only God's righteous. And if you get to heaven, you've got to be as righteous as God is righteous. Somebody said, preacher, I'll never make it in. Oh, yeah, you can. Just won't be in your own power. Amen. Oh, yeah, of right. And then of judgment. I got afraid of going to hell that night. I'll say this. I didn't get saved that Sunday in Sunday school, probably 7 months later, maybe a little longer. That would have been about July 1979, the spring of 1980. Off and on during that time, the Holy Ghost would come by and begin dealing with me again. And he didn't owe me that. Are you hearing me? I wish I'd got saved the first time he called, but I didn't. I put it off. Well, and he began dealing with me. And I'm going to tell you, that Tuesday night, that day, I'd went to school like boys go to school. And I'd never thought about God one time that day. Not once, Pastor, had he ever crossed my mind. I hadn't thought about going to hell. I hadn't thought about my sin. Nothing. And I'd come home and we ate supper and we'd done the normal things we'd do around the house. And right before it's time to go to bed, Mama, get that blueback Scofield Bible out. And she'd open it up and read to us from God's Word. And by the way, she witnessed to us. You heard this crowd tell you, I can't witness my family. They're too hard to witness to. You couldn't convince my mama of that. You couldn't convince my grandparents of that or my great-grandparents of that. Why you say that, preacher? Both my great-grandmas lived up the road from me. And I knew, just a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, be at their house. And I knew if I'd go to their house, they'd be Kool-Aid and ice cream and cookies. And so I went for the Kool-Aid and ice cream and the cookies, just like every other little young'un will. But I'd no more get that bowl of ice cream, Brother Ben, sat down in front of me on that table. And I'd go get my first bite of it. My great-grandma would say, Davy, have you give your heart to Jesus yet? I'm going to tell you, I was excited about the ice cream until I heard them words. And that bowl got bigger than I ever dreamed of. Because the same Holy Ghost that got a hold of me in that Sunday school class what began to mess around in my heart again. Convicted me and wooing me and drawing me to him. I will say tonight, have the Holy Ghost, he'll reprove of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. But I want to say this, not only conviction, but calling on him. There are some that made this thing seem harder than it really is. He said in Romans 10, 13, for whosoever, who's that? Me, you, and anybody else. I am not a Calvinist. I can't even spell it. I'm a whosoever willer. Amen. Jesus died for everybody. If he didn't, he wouldn't have died for me, and he wouldn't have died for you. But thank God, he didn't ask the Baptists about it. He didn't ask the Presbyterians about it. He said, I'm just going to so love the world. I'm going to include everybody. If they'll call on me, I'll save them. And I want to say this too, sinner. He's not drawing you to this altar to get you down here, and about the time you kneel, he'll pull it back. Amen. If he's inviting you, you'll believe his word. You'll accept him. You'll repent. He'll save you tonight. Amen. He ain't playing games with you. Oh, no. He loves you too much. He don't want you to go to hell. Amen. I'm glad as a little old boy, that night the Holy Ghost had dimmed my heart. I was living at home. I was talking with your pastor at lunch today. And I said last night I'll be 41 in next month. But you're looking at a boy that knows the difference in a slop jar and a slop bucket. We're poor. Slop buckets where we put the scraps for the pigs we had. Amen. I don't tell you, I didn't have anything. We lived in a shack of a house. Didn't even have curtains on the windows. Put blankets up, and when the wind would blow in the winter, them blankets would breathe in and breathe out. Amen. Didn't have anything to offer God that night. But he said, you ain't got nothing. I want to offer you everything. Amen. Oh, now I'm going to tell you, as a little boy, bowed down at a little ratty recliner in the corner of the living room. And I called on the Lord, and right then and there, God gloriously saved me and made a difference in my life. Amen. And I want to say it's been different ever since. Amen. I can't even get by with nothing. Amen. And I want to say I'm glad I can't. You say, preacher, I get by. I'd check up then. Amen. If you just go and do your merry old thing, I'd be real worried if I'd ever got it or not. I'm going to say this, and I'm not in the business of making folk doubt, but I want you to know something. But as a child of God, before I ever do something, do you hear what I said? Before I ever do something, the Holy Ghost says, And if I keep on, he says, you better not. And if I do, he says, you're in trouble. Amen. If you just sin and go on your way, it don't never bother you. There's never no conviction. There's never no chastisement. I want to tell you, there's a real chance that you ain't never been saved. Amen. I know that tears some folk up, but I'm going to tell you, that's right. Amen. Oh, when I called, he saved my soul. Amen. I want to say this as I close tonight. I didn't know, Pastor, you're supposed to write the date down when you got saved. I didn't know that's what I was supposed to do. I didn't know you're supposed to know what time it was on the clock. I wasn't too worried about what time it was. And I wasn't too worried about the date because I knew I was going to go to hell. But I said this yesterday and I say it again, but I want to tell you this. There's one wrote it down. Amen. It's written down in the Lamb's book of life tonight. It ain't wrote with no pencil neither. It's written in blood. I'm saved forever, and I'm glad that I am. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, being saved is the greatest thing, and it was the greatest day of my life. I hope it tells on me that I'm happy. I hope you can catch on real easy. That fella believes what he sings and what he preaches, because that's the way it is. Somebody said, preacher, you sing and preach at the same time and you get wound up and you shout and have a... It's because it's real. Amen. I found out it'll go home with you. Amen. I've never been sorry that I trusted His name. And by the way, if you think I'm emotional now, I'm praying it to get worse, and I'm going to guarantee you one day it's going to. You say, all these folk hollering and shouting around here, I wish they'd tone it down. Well, you better understand one thing. Eternity is a noisy place. They're going to shout in heaven and scream in hell, and tonight's where you make your choice of where it's going to be. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I'm going to be on the side of sweet deliverance. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing some of that dignified crowd shout for the first time and get to tell them, I told you it's good. Amen. Preacher, what are you doing? Getting warmed up. Amen. Getting practice up. Amen. Because I know it's real tonight. Hey, are you lost tonight? You like this lost axe head? You separated from God? Hey, you sunk to the bottom? Oh, preacher, you don't know. I've done some bad things. I've got down to, hey, that's who Jesus come to save. He didn't come calling righteous folk, people that's whole. He didn't come to get them. He come seeking to save that which was lost. Amen. See, that's why some of you ain't never got saved yet. You won't admit you're lost. Amen. Oh, yeah. Friend, tonight, He wants to save you. I'll say it again as I close. I don't think I preach this for no reason to be there. You may not come tonight, but God the Holy Ghost sent you a message to warn you to flee the judgment to come. Hell's a real place. It is going to be the eternal destiny of all those who are lost that have not received Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I've been born again. Are you saved tonight? Is it settled in your heart? If you're not sure tonight, you can know. Just as the man quoted in the beginning of 1 John chapter 5, you can know. Amen. I'm glad it's a no-so salvation. I'm not praying, Lord, save me in the end. It's settled now. Amen. Saved, saved, saved. I just like the ring of that. I just like to say that saved word. They just something on the inside jumps up and cuts a cartwheel. When I say saved, you say, preacher, all this makes me nervous. Did me too before I got saved. Amen. But when I got saved, it settled all that. And I'm glad that it did. Father, take the message and use it tonight for your glory. Lord, I love you because you first loved me. Father, I pray for that that's lost. Lord, as you're dealing with their heart, they'll turn to you and be saved. Lord, there could be someone struggling. Lord, help them tonight. Lord, I know a child of God can have doubts. And Lord, I know that a lot of times doubts are caused because someone's not living according to your will. And Lord, I pray you'd help folk tonight. I pray for us that are saved tonight, that in this service we'd be reminded where you brought us from and where you're going to take us. Help in this invitation, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute.